American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Wednesday, February 23rd, 2005. Happy Makabuka Day. It's a Buddhist holiday which takes place annually on the night of the full moon during the third lunar month of the year. So enjoy. This would be Newsreel, your source for independent media and the news that will give you the edge against the corporate political tyranny that is trying to enslave you. If you don't think the corporate political tyranny is trying to enslave you, ask yourself how much ID you really need to carry. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can locate that on your own. I'm not going to tell you how to get there. And you know it'll be time. No, okay, it's on live journal and it's Sean Kennedy and my middle name is underscore. And it'll be, it'll be time to turn the page when I run out of Boylan's Cola, weed, and Thermaline. Getting into the feedback today, we got a whole ton of stuff. Let's see, we got, Dear Sean, during the time I've listened to your show, I've had a growing desire to inform other people of Rant Radio. And tonight, I think I found the perfect way for me to do so. Counter-Strike. Yes, that's just what we need. Counter-Strike, Source, to be exact. You see, in Source, they have included an import option for sprays. A spray is your own personal tag that you can, you guessed it, spray on walls and on ceilings. Before, you had to use third-party software to import them. Anyways, I had a brilliant idea of using one of your stickers you guys have on my spray. This way, I'm sitting on my ass playing Counter-Strike. I can spread the virus as well. And that's from Mullywire. Now, Mullywire, do you realize that you're advertising? Do you realize you're spamming a virtual world where people run around with firearms? Mind you, you know, that would mean that, let's say this got way out of control and this was a trend that started to happen. I guess you could kill the spammers and that would make you more of a target. Then you could actually have the Counter-Strike spamming war. No, I'm just kidding. I think that's really cool. That gets me hot that he did that. You know, and it's kind of hypocritical for me to say that, right? Because it's advertising, right? Right? I mean, it is advertising. You can't get past that. So, but I guess it's advertising for us. So we say, hey, that's great. But is it really, you know, I guess advertising isn't all bad, provided it's done the right way, and provided, I guess, it works. Oh, I don't know, man. That's a hard one to call. Hard one to call. You know, we want to try to, how do you tell, give people new ideas without advertising to them or spamming to them and stuff? I suppose that's why art, but then, of course, they use art and advertising now. Like, what's the difference between Times Square and what we just did there, you know, with that advertising? Well, the thing is with Times Square, I suppose you have to go with intent. Like, what was that put there for? Is that put there to make money? No, it's not put there to make money. It's to liberate minds. So again, I guess, you know, following the difference engine that is my brain, we're going to go with intent. So I'm going to say that it's not spam because of intent. There was no money making, no business intention behind that. It's something to increase. So at worst, you might be getting nailed with evangelization, but I don't think you'd really get with, the whole spamming thing. So that's just my own personal call. So good move, Mully Wire. That gets me hot. Good work. I got an email back here from WebLuke. Hey, Sean. This is titled Good Work. Hey, Sean. Just found out about Newsreel a few days ago, but I've been to Rant Radio for a few years now. People always say that. They're like, you know, hey, I just found out about this, but I've been around forever. And I don't care if you've been around forever. Well, it's nice if you've been around forever. I'm glad. But if you're new, it's not like we hate you or something. It's just like, I'm not a newbie, you know. Well, I don't care. I don't really see a huge difference between the newbies and the oldbies. It's nice to see them there. I'm just glad the community's growing. That's all I'm trying to say here. But I've been into Rant Radio for a few years now, always after the fact, though. Getting through the archives and looking through some of my old stuff on my comp, I remembered Project Gutenberg and how you always are telling people to read. Keep up the good work. Keep up the good work. WebLuke. Okay, P.S. I kind of need a better online name. No problem. I'll baptize you today. Digital baptisms. If everyone wants an online name, you just email me. And I will digitally baptize you, but I need to know your other name first, not your real name. Okay. PSS, It would be tight to get the comment box a bit larger, too. I guess that's on the site, so I now speaketh into the show, and it goes out across the universe, and whoever wants to try to look at that can, and if not, they can tell the universe to go fuck off. But the request was made. Project Gutenberg is the oldest producer of free electronic books, e-books, or e-texts on the internet. Our collection is more than 13,000 e-books and was produced by hundreds of volunteers. Most of the Project Gutenberg e-books are older literary works that are rare in public domain in the United States. All may be freely downloaded and read and redistributed for non-commercial use. Now, I would advise everyone to go there immediately. There's a link off my LiveJournal site and begin to download and archive the data. If you could archive the entire site, that'd be great. Why? Remember MP3.com? MP3.com? Anyone? Anyone here? Well, you see, they had all this music, and it was freely available, and no one really downloaded a lot of it because they thought, I can go here another day, I can go here another day, I can go here another day, and it doesn't really work like that. Sometimes you have to actually get there and get the information because one day Project Gutenberg may be gone. So make sure that you have your own personal library with you and have it updated. So that's a very good sign. I'm glad that got sent in to me because I remember that back in the day too. But sometimes you forget these things, you know, and that's why God invented the bookmark. Another piece of feedback here. Dear Sean, the story about the oil crisis hit a little close to home with me. I just so happened to work for one of those larger oil companies in Oklahoma between 1998 and 2000. At that time, we were always in fear of being laid off. We were capping off wells and shutting down entire sites due to the fact the oil would not sell. America will not buy American oil. This hasn't changed. I have relatives and friends that work there. The pay hasn't increased, and they've begun noticing strange things. For one, there are specific scientific ways to determine new drill sites. Recently, the corporate offices haven't been paying any attention to these methods. I talked to my cousin about the situation. He told me they're wasting money on drilling new wells in random places. Why won't they just let us resume service that the wells we have capped off? He asked. America has the oil. The reserves Bush is talking about seem to be fictional. Wait, why are we listening to someone who let his oil company fall through the floor? I mean, terrorist funding aside, he doesn't know shit about the oil industry then, now does he? And since he doesn't know shit about the oil industry then, he doesn't know shit about it now. So keep up the awesome work, Slabber Lord. Now this is interesting, okay, because I've heard of the concept of peak oil, right? So who's telling the truth here? Are we going to run out of oil? I mean, I think this gets further checksum, because I got another piece of mail back here. Now, I believe Slabber Lord, I believe he's telling the truth. So if Slabber Lord is telling the truth, and I get this message from this guy who's telling the truth, but wait, message regarding oil and shortages. Long and short answer, I've been researching this topic for a couple of years. Everything I can find can point to the conclusion that there's going to be an oil shortage. Okay. This is probably the most frightening thing you might research this decade. Your media efforts speak of collapse. This is probably how it's going to happen. Yeah, go rent Road Warrior. Here's a couple of links to get you started. There's dieoff.org and fromthewilderness.com, all in dieoff, as in we are dying off, dieoff.org. And fromthewilderness.com, specific research topics are Hubbard Speak, specific clue to oil companies know it's coming, check out how many oil tankers are being retired, and how many new ones are being constructed. You know, and it goes on. There's a bunch of links here and stuff like that you can check. So apparently there's peak oil. I got another email about peak oil sent to me, you know, talking about this peak oil thing. So is there going to be an oil shortage or not? I mean, the people who would know, there's guys on the ground out there with these oil wells, and they know how much oil is in the oil well. You know, could this whole thing be just a massive, huge, fabricated lie to keep us, you know, trying to get the one world government thing? Because, I don't know, maybe, I mean, eventually we're going to need a one world government, so maybe this is how they're trying to do it. I don't know why they just don't come out and be honest about it and explain it to everyone and talk straight to everybody, you know? That's the reason why you need deception, is because you're embarrassed of something that you're doing. If you remain honest and straightforward, you don't need to be embarrassed about what you're doing. You know, Americans are all okay with, you know, running an op every now and again. Sometimes people got to get shot. That's an unfortunate truth. It's horrible, and I'm sorry, but it's true. If you can't get past that, fuck, man, you're not living in the real world. So, that said, does that mean we go indiscriminately bomb entire fucking nations? No, man. The whole point of the First World War was supposed to be the war to end all wars, right? That's when we had the trench wars and all this kind of stuff. Then we got the Second World War where the Nazis, you know, just about took over the fucking planet. Hitler was out there feeding his troops what? Drugs. Meth. He was getting shots of methamphetamines 5 times a day. Good old Adolf. Speed freak. That's what it does to you. So when you see that and you go, oh, okay, wait a second. Okay, so we fought him back, but he almost took over. So what are they going to do? They're going to follow his business model because Bush's family's right hooked into that. His grandfather ran the money for the Nazis. The whole shindig has just been going on with the Nazis. The Nazis all came over here. We deported. We got all the Nazis over here working for us with Project Paperclip. All the Nazis got out of Nazi Germany on Vatican passports. So where do they wind up? Where do you suppose they went? Dr. Joseph Mengele went and died down in Argentina somewhere in the surf. Good for him, under the assumed name of Helmut Gregor. And the rest of the Nazis, what happened to the tacticians, the people who, like, ran the generals, the really high-class motherfuckers? Yeah, a few of them went to Nuremberg. You bet. A few of them went there, but a lot of brain power came over here and set up shop in the government. It's just the truth. If you check the history, it'll back me up. So, if we know, then, that part of the Nazi regime is to control the populace and to control how they move and how they think and how they act through propaganda. Is this, am I the only guy thinking about this here or what? You know, I mean, I'm sure we all consider this. We all kind of know that we are being controlled somehow. Everybody sits back and goes, wait a second, you know, this is all bullshit. And we all kind of know that, but nobody wants to talk about it because we don't think there's anything we can do about it. Makes me fucking crazy when that shit happens. But people just go and don't even think about, you know, the fact that they are fucked and they don't want to talk about it because they're too worried about, you know, just making sure they get their paycheck. Which is true. I mean, we got to survive. Which is why debt is so heavily crammed upon us. You know, we got to stay in debt so we can stay slaves. Don't go in debt. But I wish, you know, this thing with the oil really pisses me off because I wish I could get the truth. Just fucking some straight shit. You know, maybe the oil workers, okay, and the conservationists can get together, cut the shit, and actually talk about, you know, hey, we're going to all turn into a bunch of guys riding motorcycles with mohawks fucking killing each other unless we sort out how much oil is left. And if something as serious as an oil shortage, let's get to the bottom of this. Just a thought, man, just a thought. And P.S. Tones on Tail is rad, and I didn't get this guy's name. God damn it, in this email. Sorry, dude. I think it's from D. Good work, D. We're going to say D. And he thinks Tones on Tail is rad, and so do I. This week on Sort Yourself Out, we've got, hey, Sean, very true, and this is reference to, we were talking about how much news reads like propaganda. He said, very true and kind of scary. I don't know if this is worth the title of Sort Yourself Out. I'll be the judge of that. But I've got questions that's been bothering me. Over the last little while, I've had the time to pick up such books as Jarhead by Anthony Swofford, great book, and The War Against Truth, etc. These books feature American soldiers not only as in the most patriotic light. You mentioned that soldiers are often kept in the dark and in most cases don't really know what's going on and how it's not right to treat them like shit. It's not right to treat them like shit and it doesn't help and really isn't justified no matter what you think of the war. So my question is, what are the differences between the grunt level soldiers in the Canadian Army, the American Army, and say something like the British Army? Now, this is interesting. And this is one of the few things that that, you know, all the psych students out there, everyone who's even an amateur psychology guy will back me up. And I've worked with all three of these forces. Okay, so I was there. I've worked with these guys. I have got a lot of friends who still do. Okay, and I'm pretty sure that who's who in the zoo will back this up. Now, there's stages to a military soldier's life. You get brought in to, you know, the doctrine. You get indoctrinated where they, you know, they program you. And you come right out of boot camp and you think you're 10 feet tall, you're bulletproof. And you're like, oh, I'm going to rip it up. And you think you're a psycho killer. And then, you know, the slow reality of what you are and what you do strikes you over time. And eventually what either happens is you either, you know, keep going with it and wrap yourself in the pageantry. That's one thing. These guys wrap themselves right up in the flag and the history and the whole nine yards of the regiment. Number one. Number two, they kind of turn a little bitter and they become like the hardened professionals that you always see depicted by guys like Clint Eastwood. These are few and far between. Not often do they come around. They're usually pretty tortured dudes. Way deep down, they usually drink to make the pain go away because, you know, it's their job to geek people and stuff, and they've chosen that as their lives. They're usually single, and as they get older, it's not really a happy lifestyle choice, okay? Or they become raging alcoholics and like your standard, you know, doling government worker that doesn't give a fuck about anything except for, you know, where he can, you know, go get his next paycheck and kind of live his life. A lot of the Army is just young kids doing a stint, going out, trying to see the world, trying to figure out who they are. That's what a lot of the Army is. So at the grunt level, that's what you got. You got these guys in varying positions around that. They either buy into their country's hardline propaganda bullshit or they don't. Now, the thing is after you've been in the Army for a while, like let's say you got airborne soldiers from say, Britain, airborne soldiers from America, and airborne soldiers from Canada. Now, the thing is, being an airborne soldier or the elite soldiers, these are people who follow code, who understand the bullshit, where the metal meets the meat. They know what's going on. So chances are you'll find that people from all three nations will get together, and they can go out and go drink and have a good time because they all see things a similar way because they're all airborne soldiers, which sounds really bizarre unless you've ever actually experienced the spree of mutual suffering. And they all talk about how badass their courses were and crazy fucking stories about guys cutting people's fingers off and shit. And that's what soldiers do because this is their role. Their job is to fall out of the sky, especially airborne. Their job is to fall out of the sky and kill everything they see. That's essentially their function. So, you know, when people come to me about stuff like the Rwandan crisis and all this kind of shit where you got these special forces guys whose job it is, let's be serious here, is to fucking kill people. Okay, and you put them in charge of prisoners when all their training and everything they do tells them, you know, to chop people up. I mean, come on, what do you think's going to happen here? You can only be clinical to a certain point. Officers love being clinical, you know. Oh, well, you know, we should have the control. It's a little different when you're back in the OP in a box somewhere, you know, talking into a radio or looking at a computer screen, or when you're fucking kicking in the door, man. You know, on the concrete or on the desert or on the jungle or wherever the fuck you are, the officers are always the ones who talk about, you know, they're the ones who take it in the teeth because of brutality and shit like that. But no one ever talks to the grunt-level soldier. You want to know how it is for the grunt-level soldier? Go ask him sometime and be respectful about it. Maybe he'll tell you about it. Because they're the only ones who really see what the fuck is going on. So that's why, you know, I really enjoy the fact when grunt-level soldiers from any culture, any walk of life, you know, come forward and write books and stuff like that. Lots of stuff written. Lots of stuff out there if you're just willing to go look. You know, fuck the party line and fuck anything written by most officers. Now, there's a few officers out there that, you know, are worth something. Usually guys who Mustang over, they go as NCO and then they skip across. But generally, if you're going to do, like, I've read Jarhead by Anthony Swofford, and I think it's a fantastic book. I feel like it's one of the books that I enjoy his writing style because I think it's similar to my own. It's a book that I could have wrote. It was weird. It was like reading a diary of my experience in the Army, only it wasn't my experience in the Army. It was a very, very well-constructed, well-connected book. And any person who's been in the service and feels ripped off and, you know, they're haunted by demons, because everyone who was in the service and feels ripped off, they always got those demons where they think that maybe, you know, they weren't a good soldier, all that programming bullshit they try to feed you. You know, pick up a book like this. Because Swofford was an amazing... He was a scout sniper, okay? And those guys are in amazing shape. They're, you know, be all you can be, all that good shit. And the guy now teaches at a university, okay? So he's not stupid. And there's a lot of affirmations that come from that. So I think that a lot of people could get something out of reading that book. So if you are interested in the Army, or, you know, just you're a big military nerd, or you enjoy playing Counter-Strike or whatever, and you want to read something that doesn't suck, go pick up Anthony Swofford's Jarhead. So that would be my response to you and my big plug for Swofford. Because, you know, hey, good books are hard to find. On to another piece of mail here. I got an opinion. Please don't take this accusation or as a verbal offense. I'm curious your take on this subject. A big disclaimer. You know those emails are going to be good when they start with a disclaimer like that. Which is funny because this one's from a Panthropy. And Panthropy has been around since Christ was a cowboy. So I got a lot of respect for the guy. So it's funny. I do check. I do remember certain people, just so you know. One of the things that you emphasize on the old SKTFM show is that the concept that listeners could trust what you say because the show and the station weren't about money. No money equals no incentive to lie. That was the point that I had previously made. So now you're employed by the fans, so to speak. Is there an incentive to tell the fans what they want to hear, perhaps more than what they actually needs to be said? What is the check with which insures trust? After all, isn't trust what you've been marketing all along? Well, ooh, geez. You know, using the word trust in marketing, yeah, I can see how he might be worried that I'm not offended by this. It's a good question. It needs to be asked. Again, I urge you not to read farther in this than what's on the surface. Oh, we have a disclaimer and then an afterward disclaimer. I'm not using this email to attack you or anything you're doing. I'm just curious how you've chosen to resolve or ignoring the issue presented. A Panthropy. One of the ways that, like, let's say with news and stuff like that, I don't claim to be any authorial, you know, master person. I'm just a guy who's had a bunch of experience and wandering my way through life, you know, trying to map my experiences. I suppose what I'm doing and the amount of media I have on the web could be considered to be somewhat unique at this point. And I don't really know, like, because that's been presented to me. Okay, I'm getting paid by the internet, so why don't I just, you know, report what they want to hear? Well, to some degree, that is going to happen, I guess. I will report and do projects, like, if everyone wants After Now, and I have to produce After Now, because if I don't, they'll kill me. So, you know, that's how it is. So on that level, I've got to produce, but in the news show, if I wasn't willing to post corrections, say, or if I was presented with hard facts, I'm always open to new data. All the decisions, all the stories I present on the show is stuff that's presented to me by the fans, so I cover what the fans present me. So, as well as, you know, I have my daily checks in case, you know, there's stuff I want to check out and get on the web as well. So it becomes a personal judgment call where I sit there and I submit, you know, stories out there. If there's a correction on a story I made, like where I'm way off and I look like a clown, I'll come right out and say, whoa, I was way off this story I got, because I think everything in life is based upon a difference engine. I think that everyone has, you know, pros and cons. You know, the decision, any decision is really about pros and cons. And people get lazy and they don't want to actually weigh the pros and cons and just go with whatever's easiest. And this is one of the reasons why, you know, that's how I determine a lot of the show content and stuff like that. So when it comes to the way you prevent me from being dishonest and, you know, compromising that trust, I think that this method here may not be absolutely perfect because there is that propensity for that. You're right. But it's better than any other method I can see because at least I'm answering directly to everyone. So although my crime may be that I will, you know, report stories that you'd want to hear, if that's a bad thing, I don't know. It's not like I'm fabricating stories or whatever, you know, or angling the news. Like, if I could, you know, figure out what the internet wanted to hear, I mean, my God, I'd be pretty rich, don't you think? You know, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that people try their whole lives to figure that kind of crap out. So, hoping that if I don't really see a problem there so much because I've got people like you and others who check some what I say and you know, well, we have dialogue and communication and we kind of move forwards. You know, it's not perfect, but I think it's the best one I can come up with. So I hope that answers that question. Enough of that. On to the news. Follow up on the vitamins, had that said. I sent one of the news. Now, this is the other day. I did that story about the vitamins, and the vitamins are all going to be illegal, and oh my God, we're not going to be able to get any vitamins. Well, I got to check some on that. Hi, Sean. I sent on the news about the vitamins to a few friends today. Also, quite a few people with a range of, I know quite a few people with a range of medical problems, and it was likely at least some of them rely on supplements. One of my friends came back with this link, which seems to be a further explanation of the report and a partial correction. The main upshots are, in June 2005, the USA will be forced to accept the Codex regulation of vitamins, minerals, and dietary supplements. This is false. Bills proposing the regulation of dietary supplements are currently before Congress. This was the second point. And that's not so anymore. As for the rest of it, I don't know. The explanation is very long, and it's late. And Sherlock Holmes is beckoning to me. Toodles, Cy. Cy sent me that email. So I've got the link for that, for the follow-up on the vitamins. So check some of that. Make sure that we know that we still are able to get vitamins. I hope so, because I'm scared shitless if we can't. You know, don't go stockpiling just yet. But wait, in the massive scientific propaganda section, I've got news for the world that Sim is in fact a terrorist. Because as we know, terrorists are unethical, and anyone who is unethical is therefore a terrorist. And of course, having children be vegetarians is unethical, so vegetarians are now terrorists. Putting the children on strict vegan diets is unethical and could harm their development, a U.S. scientist has urged. Lindsay Allen of the U.S. Agricultural Research Service attacked parents who insisted their children live by the maxim, meat is murder. Animal source foods have some nutrients not found anywhere else, she told a Washington Science conference. The Vegan Society dismissed the claim, saying its research shows vegans were often healthier than meat eaters. Development affected. Professor Allen says there have been sufficient studies clearly showing when women avoid all animal foods, their babies are born small. They grow very slowly, and they are developmentally retarded, possibly permanently. If you're talking about feeding young children, pregnant women, and lactating women, I would go so far as to say it's unethical to withhold these foods, animal source foods, during that period of life. She was especially critical of parents who impose a vegan lifestyle on their children, denying them milk, cheese, butter, and meat. There is absolutely no question that it is unethical for parents to bring up their children as strict vegans. That is a direct quote. Quote, there is absolutely no question that it is unethical for parents to bring up their children as strict vegans. End quote. She told the annual meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. That's what she said. I am not gifted verbally to convey to you the ignorance of that statement. Obviously, let's assume for just half a second here that vegetarian people are, in fact, have common sense. They also, probably because they're vegetarian, just a guess here, just going way out on a limb, that they are fairly morally conscious, you know, ethically conscious people. That's why they're vegetarians. Okay, usually. Unless you're Sumerian, who's just, you know, this rabid atheist and has his own little weird thing he does, which I think is kind of odd. But whatever. My point is that most of these people, most vegans and vegetarians, are what you would call spiritual people. Okay, they believe in higher standards. Whereas people who eat meat and go to feedlots and don't really care, and like such as myself, I might add, you know, who will occasionally, you know, break down and throw a steak on the Barbie. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll have a big mouthful of murder. You know, is that a good thing? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But I have a problem stopping that. Maybe I'm a bad person. I guess I'll be judged. You know, I try to do what I can to eat a low-meat diet. But occasionally, you break down. And I'm not saying that's a good thing, but that's the truth. That's where I'm at. You know? But these vegetarian people, I marvel at how they do that. You know, and they pay attention a lot. Some of them are stupid. Some of them don't eat proper supplements and stuff like that. But if you do it properly, even if you eat a low-meat diet, even if you eat a constructed diet, that you pay very close attention to what your body wants and you create your own diet so you're not, you know, affected by convenience foods and convenience shopping and all that crap. I mean, realistically, don't you think that these people would be a little bit more concerned, since they're spiritual and ethical and all that kind of jazz, towards their children whom they love? I mean, the ignorance that statement presents and the light it casts on vegetarian culture is unforgivable. Like, to make a statement like that, such a very edged statement, obviously backed and going to be flaunted by, you know, the meat industry and the core political. I mean, that's just fucking sad that statement was made. And she's lucky that the vegetarians dismissed it. Because, okay, tell you what, bitch. Tell you what, get your details together, and we'll just have a big open conference, and we'll televise that shit, and we'll discuss the pros and the cons, difference engine time, of eating a constructed, you know, supplemented vegetarian diet and a meat diet, and we'll just lay out the facts, okay, and fuck opinion, we'll just go with the facts, and we'll just run it through a difference engine. The one with more pros than the cons wins. Go. No fancy language, got to be individual points. Go. Yeah, we'll see what'll come out on top of that one. Yeah, I don't think I'd be eating too much steak anymore. An artist was thrown in jail, a Roseville artist, in trouble over a breast-bearing mural on the outside of his wall of his studio, has won a temporary reprieve from a 30-day jail sentence that was supposed to have started this month. So they were going to put him in jail for drawing a picture of a pair of tits on the side of his building. This is the year 2005. A Roseville artist. Former Macomb County prosecutor Carl Malinga on Saturday secured an order form from Anthony Vivano, the chief judge in Macomb County Circuit Court, to delay jailing pending hearing on Tuesday. Ed Strauss is this guy's name, of Gonzo Airbrush. Was Gonzo Airbrush. Got to keep Ed in jail, you know. Guy's a Gonzo Airbrush artist. He was sentenced last week by 39th District Court Judge Marco Santilla to serve 30 days in a Macomb County jail for violating city sign ordinance. 30 days in jail, put up the wrong kind of sign everywhere a sign. The American Civil Liberties Union on Friday filed the motion asking for a stay of the sentence and asked Malinga to serve as volunteer attorney in the controversy. Personally, I feel like 30 days in jail for Ms. Strauss, who suffers from multiple sclerosis, is a bit too much, Malinga said Sunday evening. If the court was trying to make a point, I think that a weekend in jail would have done it. Roseville city officials were surprised to hear of the latest development in their longstanding dispute with Strauss. This country is at war. Our economy is going down the tubes, and newspaper headlines are all about Gonzo, said Harold Hall, the city's mayor pro term. I don't get it. Strauss was convicted in January by a district court jury for violating a variance granted by the Roseville Zoning Board of Appeals that confined his artwork solely to the front of the building on Gray Trot and Utica Road. Most of Strauss's work appears on the Utica Road side of the studio. Conditions of the variance include a ban against painting genitalia or exposed breasts or any lettering. No dangly bits. No dark bits covered by the bailing suit. Show me on the doll where the bad airbrush artist touched you. Will you give me a break, please? You know, you're putting artists in jail for drawing boobies. Holy shit, Batman. And on to more FUD promoted by the world. Here we've got smoking pot will make your head explode. Doctors are warning young cannabis users that there could be an incredible risk of having a stroke. Let's decipher that here. Doctors are warning, so they're saying be careful. There is a chance that there could be an increased risk. So it doesn't cause, it would just increase another risk. So it could be helping move along the risk of having a stroke, which is genetic anyway. Spanish researchers, in the only case of its, only report of its kind ever in the history of the world, go look at how many deaths are related to pot yearly. Then do the same check for, say, alcohol. And do another one for, say, cigarettes, and you will see that, yes, there are greater evils than weed in the world. The Spanish researchers detailed the case of a 36-year-old patient with no known risk factors for stroke who had three following cannabis use. Oh, my God, he smoked pot and he had a stroke. The paper in Journal of Neurology, Neurosurgery, and Psychiatry said the risk may have been underestimated. It could have been wrong. The risk of stroke, which we thought was minor to begin with, may have been underestimated, but UK stroke expert urged caution, saying more causes would have been seen if there was a significant link, because after all, marijuana has been around and been smoked by generations of people since the dawn of fucking time. The Spanish researchers estimated perhaps 15 other cases of stroke have been linked to cannabis use. That perhaps 15 other cases of stroke had been linked, so maybe it had something to do with it. They called for the researchers to establish the actual extent of risk. Frequent cannabis use has been linked to behavioral abnormalities. They laugh a lot and eat bunch. An increased risk of schizophrenia. Okay. So if you're half crazy, it makes you totally crazy. Bleeding on the brain. The patient who was studied in primary school teacher, who had been an occasional user of cannabis. Dr. Tony Rood, a stroke specialist at St. Mary's Hospital in London, told the BBC News website, long-term cannabis was probably does increase the risk of a stroke, probably because people use a lot of tobacco when they smoke cannabis. Probably because people use a lot of tobacco when they smoke cannabis. I think that was misquoted. I think you said people who use a lot of tobacco when they smoke cannabis. So these people who smoke quite often smoke weed as well, I think is what he's trying to say there, because that statement doesn't make sense. But he said that there's been not been a link made between short-term use of pot and stroke risk. It would be a mistake to read too much into a single case report. It's clearly not a very strong association, because if it would have come to our attention before now. Now, I marvel at this, that they say that there is a chance that it could link something together with weed causing your brain to fall off, when we have screaming, overwhelming evidence. We have doctors jumping up and down, throwing up signs, risking their careers, saying that the antidepressant medication, which is saturating our culture, is killing our kids, and these guys are freaking out. They're going to the fucking wall. They're losing their careers, screaming about how Pfizer and Monsanto, or not Monsanto, how Pfizer and all the other drug companies out there are putting out these drugs that are for pain treatment, and they double the risk of suicide and mentally depressed. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Not to mention side effects like anal seepage and other such joyous, boyishly funny names. There is some scary shit. None of these drugs have been tested long term. They don't break down in our environment. We got Viagra in our trout. What the hell? But of course, you know, a drug which has been used to treat psychosis, because guess what? Psychosis has always been around. There's been crazy people since the dawn of time. People who can't handle it, they medicated with what? With wine in the past. They did it for years. In India, they did it for years. They got weed legal in India. They're all smoking in the backyard, that and whatever else they could find. You know, they're killing people over there, too. Yeah, that's true. But my point here is that this has got nothing to do with weed. It's got everything to do with money. It's about money. They want money. If we were to line up the benefits of pot versus the benefits of any of these antidepressant drugs, it wouldn't even take, you throw it against the difference engine and the decision will be made. It is overwhelmingly in favor of a naturally occurring herb which grows wild in most of the fucking world. But no. Let's use dangerous antipsychotics. Give them to our kids. And you want to talk about retardation of growth? Fuck the vegan diet. No. Let's not retard our children by giving them a vegan diet. Incorrectly, I might add, in order to produce retardation in children. Yeah. Other than doing that, why don't we just, let's just feed them as much chemicals and preservatives and shit that we can. Let's just do that instead, because that's ethical. That's what we need to do. And they'll be on Ritalin and all these, you know, inhibitors and shit like that, that of course will make our kids turn into raging, screaming drones with no skull, no soul, no life, no mind, no sweet fuck all. Now, I'm not saying that everybody should be out there going Rastafarian, sparking up 30 spliffs a day. Okay, buying that book on how to roll, you know, specific joints and stuff like that. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm just saying that if people wind up on a Friday night rolling up a doobie and sparking up a bomber, it's not a big deal. Sometimes people have rough days and rough weeks. I can't remember last time someone got high and shot somebody. Not on weed. I'm welcome for all that. But, you know, if you're going to send me that, bear in mind that I can we can open the newspaper right now. Talk to any paramedic. Talk to any cop. They'll tell you that if alcohol was illegal, they'd be largely unemployed. That's a fact. So do some research on this. Yeah, I'm not saying kids should go do drugs. I'm saying kids should get off the corporate drugs, because they're milking us dry. We're cattle to these people. They're farming us, and they're going to make us pay for our own medication. Fuck that. It doesn't even work, and it'll kill you. But no. We got this one Spanish study from some dubious group claiming that it makes your fucking head explode and everybody wigs out. Ooh, that shit makes me crazy. Now, in good news, I got some new Canadian privacy laws that have come across. Two executives met at a function, or pardon me, this is a scenario here, this is from the article. Two executives meet at a function and they exchange business cards. This makes the information public and allows it to be exchanged freely without worrying about contravening any privacy laws, right? Not so, says the Privacy Commissioner of Canada. Now, this is huge effects for people living in Canada, who has ruled that business email addresses are personal information protected under the federal privacy legislation, a landmark decision involving spam last December. Woohoo! The case surrounded whether business email is personal information, and the commissioner found that it did not fall within the exemption many people call the business card exemption, said Ottawa lawyer Dan Palliou, who specializes in labor, employment, and privacy law at Ogilvie Renault. I guess that would be a school of some type or some type of law firm. The intent of the decision is to protect individuals from spam at work that is not work-related. So I see spammers starting to fuck with the corporate world, and that's not cool, but you can send it to my private email. While many commenters express shock at this, when you look at it in the context of the problem that spam has become and the broad purpose to protect personal information that this legislation covers, then it's not that unusual. Now, that's really cool that that has been passed. So you might want to check on that link. See if you can decrease your spam and other reasons for you to get yourself your own business. Factor for your own business. Why not make yourself an incorporated company? Have your own little corporation that you work for. Get all the tax benefits. Because quite often, all you need to do is incorporate yourself and you can get a shitload of benefits, man. You can wipe down your taxes. Use all the tricks that they give the corporations in your own personal life. Fight fire with fire. That's what I say. Now, here's some new black ice, which is on the market as well. Virus writers have once again gotten the drop on antivirus vendors and IT administrators with a new technique that's finding early and considerable success. So, ears up all you deckers out there. Last month, administrators and service providers began seeing virus-infected messages with a new type of attachment hitting their mail servers, a .rar archive. .rar files are similar to .zip files because they are containers used to hold one or more compressed files. The .rar format is not as widely known as a zip format, but it uses for a number of tasks, including compressing very large files, such as music and video, blah, 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 blah. If you're reading this, you probably know what RAR and zip files are. The emergence of RAR-PAC viruses highlights the lengths to which virus writers are willing to go to evade antivirus systems, as well as limitations of those traditional single-base defenses. Experts say RAR files carrying viruses have been sailing past commercial antivirus products and finding their way into mailboxes of users who are often unfamiliar with the file format. Administrators who are seeing RAR-PAC malware say that none of the messages have been stopped by their antivirus defenses. So, if you get an extension, once again, if you open anything that comes with an extension, now I have a tendency to do that because I have to. But bear in mind that I've got people like Enki and other deckers out there, and I'm sure that all I'd have to do is make one small announcement asking for someone to take a look at a virus that was planted on my system, and we could probably figure out if we forensically went at it who sent me that virus, and you can bank that I'll be revealing who you are on the air. You want to go to war, that's fine, you can do that. But, you know, I'm going to step up to the plate. So, I'm just saying, I don't like virus writers, and apparently, guys. If you happen to be dumb enough to have to open up files like I do, and quite often sometimes I don't, if I don't recognize people, if they just send me a file and I don't know who they are, I'm not going to open it, of course. Come on, use some brains. But you might be aware that there are some RAR files that are moving around. And if you get nailed with them, I guess the antivirus guys aren't picking that up. So, something to think about. And, of course, we're on to some religious hate crimes. Ooh, I love these. The hit feature Shrek 2. Shrek 2, I saw that. Joins the ranks of animated films to be outed by some Christian fundamentalists in the U.S. who have charged that cross-dressing and transgender themes have made their way into beloved kids' movies to warn parents to beware. Careful, men dressed as women. Although many people see Oscar-nominated film as a humorous story about a green ogre and his true love, the Traditional Values Coalition, ooh, good name, has a different take on the animated feature. Shrek 2 is billed as a harmless entertainment but contains subtle sexual messages. How twisted are you, buddy? Coalition says on the website of the movie, a popular DVD rental. The group describes itself as a grassroots interdominational lobby with more than 43,000 member churches. So over 43,000 churches are part of these psychos, the Traditional Values Coalition. Parents who are thinking about taking their kids to see Shrek 2 may wish to consider the following. The article that then proceeds to describe one of the characters as an evil bartender voiced by Larry King, who's Jewish, by the way, so, you know, they're saying the Jews are evil there. Ooh, there's a stretch. Who is made a male-to-female transgender in transition when expresses a sexual desire for Prince Charming. In another identified scene, Shrek and Donkey need rescuing from a dungeon by Pinocchio and his nose, which is made to extend as an escape bridge by getting the wooden boy to lie about not wearing women's underwear. Shrek 2 has plenty of company. Christian activists have also targeted SpongeBob SquarePants, as we all know. Barney the Dinosaur. Yeah, I can see that. He is the devil, though. I mean, there is a difference there. We're on the same page on Barney. And Sesame Street's Bert and Ernie as children's characters as conduits for the soft on gays message. So what you're saying here is we should all be hard on gays. Hard on gays. So I think that the Christian, you know, coalition, I think they're a bunch of cockroach warriors. That's what I think is really going on here, and that these people need to, you know, possibly go to a fetish show or something like that rather than just come out with it, guys. Come on, we know you're queer. We know you are. Come on. You might like just, it's okay. It's okay. Jerry Falwell, it's okay, man. It's okay. You don't have to hate yourself so much. I just come out of the closet. I'm sure we can get a couple of queens for you. Just come on out, man. Won't be a problem. And we've got the Monsanto attack. The Center for Food Safety has released an extensive review of Monsanto's use of patent law to control the usage of staple crop seeds by U.S. farmers. Now, this is going on further. We've reported on this before, where Monsanto, for those of you following along in the home game, Monsanto has been causing farmers to not keep seed. That means that I'm a farmer, I grow my fucking seed, I buy some seed, grow the seed, take the seed that is given to me by my own crop, and then replant that. No, that's illegal. This ancient, time-tested tradition of farming is now illegal. And Monsanto versus the U.S. farmers, okay, there's lawsuits where they're putting, like, they've got, what do they got here? There's some numbers here. We've got 90 lawsuits against farmers in 25 states involving 147 farmers and 39 small business on farm companies. Monsanto has set aside an annual budget, check this out, of $10 million to staff 75 devoted lawyers. Totally, their only purpose in life of these 75 evil motherfuckers who work for Monsanto. And you wonder why lawyers, you know, get a bad rap. This would be why. Because 75 of them work for Monsanto. Their only purpose in life is to investigate and sue and farmers. That's it. 75 guys with a $10 million budget a year. Holy fuck, they're living good, eh? Must be nice to sell out to the beast like that, you fucking spineless piece of shit. Lawyers like that, you know, I'm sure that they, you know, if one of these lawyers heard me, they'd come wading over here with their big legal guns and they'd stuff them in my mouth and they'd make me apologize, say I'm sorry, or just sue me through the floor, totally destroy me as a human being. But it doesn't change the fact that what they're doing is wrong. You're suing people for growing food with unlicensed seeds? Can you think about it? Jesus, have you people fallen so far away? Is it possible? Do you even have a soul left? Like, fuck me, man. Half the world's starving, and you're suing people for making food without having to buy the seed. I mean, this is insanity. Insanity. But no one really seems to care, do they? Oh, actually, you know what? That's the flip side. Everyone really does care. But if you watch the news, it's just never going to hit the news. You never hear about this. You might get an occasional blurb, but all Monsanto's got to do, the news will use it like blackmail. Hey, Monsanto, we got this news story here. Oh, well, we'll just hit you with a whole bunch of money, and you'll, because we'll advertise with you. Just like Pfizer. Pfizer's got all these drugs. You know, what are these commercials they're putting on the news channels, eh? Pfizer, we're everywhere. We love you. We're not even, you might know someone who's on one of our drugs. What the fuck is the purpose of that commercial? Why the hell am I looking at a commercial for a drug company that doesn't sell over-the-counter drugs? So I can go to my doctor and ask for your fucking products? No, you're putting these commercials on the air and paying these news companies big money to, you know, to run your commercials so the news companies won't run stories about how your drugs are fucking killing people. That's how that works. Maybe it's not intentional. Yeah, I'm the only one who thinks this stuff. Wow, check out how bright I am. Check out the big brain on Brad. But no, in actuality, that's one of the side benefits of them running all these drug commercials. You're not going to see any news reports about Pfizer on the news killing people because they pay the news to put on their advertising. So why would the news bite the hands that feeds them? And again, this is why independent media is better. Come on. Everybody knows this. There's nothing new here. And, of course, in Russia, those crazy Russians. Oh, my God. Now, for the record, the people who can drink more than anyone else, I don't care what part of the states you come from. I don't care where you are in the UK. In the international who can drink more competition, the guys who I'm going to call upon to represent planet Earth in the intergalactic drinking competitions will be the Russians, okay? The Russians drink more than anybody. The Russians are hardcore motherfuckers when it comes to the poisoning of the self through alcohol, let me tell ya. Russian scientists have developed a product, okay, think of this now. They've developed a product that can keep a person drunk. Britain's Daily Telegraph wrote, the tablet called RU21 Red, yeah, baby, was developed in Spirit Sciences, oh my God, a laboratory based in California, but with research facilities in Russia, where they can do the kind of research that we won't allow for sane college-wielding students to do here. The same scientists had earlier worked on secret programs for the Kremlin, and made the famous RU21 product that cures hangovers. If you take the tablet, you will need less alcohol to stay drunk. The scientists were quoted as a paper saying, RU21 Red prolongs drunkenness and enhances intoxication, the company co-founder, Emil Chabaly, born ex-Soviet Republic of Georgia, said. RU21, the company's original product, is sold as a natural dietary supplement in the United States and Britain. Some papers wrote, it officially claims to help prevent long-term disease and associate with moderate alcohol intake. But among its ingredients are acids that are natural antioxidants and reportedly rid the body of some of the harmful byproducts of alcohol breakdown that lead to hangovers. The thing kind of reads like a bit of an ad, but the fact is they've got something that keeps you drunk. So, hey, you know, it's either the bottle in front of me or the frontal lobotomy. The Daily Hack today. Now, this was a website sent to me by, I think it was Pig Monkey sent me this, and I give props to him. Today's Daily Hack is awesome. You could probably lose a month on this site. It's amazing. And it's called Hackaday. And this is a WOG Daily Check for sure. From their fact, it says, welcome, citizen engineers. Hackaday, beta, is a web magazine devoted to cataloging all the best hacks, mods, and do-it-yourself projects from around the web. This is porn. This website has so much good shit. Each day, I'll post one hack I like, have seen, or tried once a week to... Oh, seen or tried, and once a week, a special how-to. This is my beta, so enjoy the occasional oddity and sawdust while it gets cooking. Why a site? I thought it was time to have a spot on the web where all things you can do with iPods, digital cameras, consoles, portables, locks, Macs, PCs, anything that can be modded or hacked. A lot of desire to do this, so I don't have to hunt around as much for ideas. The goal is for anyone who has an old PDA, a TiVo... The goal is for anyone who has an old PDA, a TiVo, an Atari, an iPod, Xbox, or a device just sitting around, then it's Hackaday.com, bang, see all things folks can do with the void already expired warranty to get more out of it. Great. It's recycling technology. It's recycling ideas. I think it's great. I'll post some researches like Make 'em, Pop Sci, and other books to check out. So this guy's just an engineer who's got the brilliance to go out throughout the world and find hacks and mods. So check it out. You want to put that in your daily checks because it's just... porn. This is all I have for you today, but don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow to make sure you get the news you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of Jesse, Anonymous and Anonymous, who are different people. Jesse, who's another different person, Grey Goat, Robert, Four Leap, Michael, Matthew, Matt, Kevin, Derek, Jesse, Desert Runner, Eric, Speaker, Jeff, Malcolm, Peter, Keith, Timor, WebLife, Richard, Greg, Evan, Matt, Drake, Levi, Ashton, David, Britton, Austin, Tara, Host Mojo, Jonathan, Adam, Mystique, Mark, Jonathan, Trevor, Brandon, Art, Diarmude, Peter, Jesse, Brandon, Justin, Matthew, Dylan, Lars, Daniel, Mookie, and Philip. So thank you very much. And Mookie, actually, you'll notice that suddenly Mookie was added. That's because one of the anonymous people changed their name to Mookie. So we didn't add anybody for people who are going to catch that later in the, you know, as they go through the archives. Why did he change it if he says he only changes it once a month? If you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air for next month, please, 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 please visit rantmedia.ca. And click on the Donate tab. And I'd like to give some special shouts-out to some hard netrunners who helped me get the data I needed to get to you so we can all stay alive. Astrofix, Sylvanus, Polysci, Ricky Rocket, Foulware, Psychofish, No Delete, Bonsai Popping, D Sotaku, Digital Baptisms Today. Web Luke, you wanted it, you got it. Now you're now known as Shinto Surfer. And for everyone else in their assistance in gathering data, submitting ideas, sites, info to me, I still have to get my FTP up. I know I suck. I have to do that. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And if you like this kicking music in the background, be sure to check out the album Chicks on Speed, the band Chicks on Speed, and their album is called Will Save Us All. So Chicks on Speed, Will Save Us All. And they fucking rock sore. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
Oh, God. Did you eat all this acid?
That's right. Music!
This is not a good town for psychedelic drugs. Extremely menacing vibration for all around us. We had 2 bags of grass, 75 pounds of mescaline, 5 sheets of higher powered water acid, a salt shaker half full of cocaine, a whole galaxy of multi-colored uppers, downers, leaders, lappers, also of course tequila, quarter rum, piece of beer, kind of raw beer, do the money. Alvin Berry himself. Because it goes without saying that we can't turn our boots. Turn your back on a person, but never turn your back on a drug, especially when it's waving a razor-sharp hunting knife in your eye.